Have your Bibles. I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of Ezekiel, the 16th chapter. It's a privilege of ours to have you with us today in the house of the Lord. Amen. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 16, beginning with verse 1. And again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. And say, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, thy mother an Hittite. And as for thy nativity, the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None eyes pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon you, but thou wast cast out to the open field in the loathing of thy people in the days that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I say unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great. And thou art come to excitement, to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned and thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now when I passed by thee, I looked upon thee. Behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and enter into covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us and make us, God, to sit in heavenly places with you. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. I want to say it is a privilege to have Eric and Savannah back from Mexico. I told them it looked a little darker than it did a couple of weeks ago. And I appreciate Miss Jan coming back and visiting with us. Amen. And if I miss somebody, we're glad you're here. But most of all, I'm glad God's here. Amen. Now, church, I know the scripture that I read to you. These verses speak to the nation of Israel. But I believe it is my job to make this more of a contemporary message and bring it down where it touches you. I don't think God put anything in the word just for us to read. I think it's there because we can learn from it, we can receive from it, and we can find from it. My message today is just simply going to be restoration for you. The verse talk about Israel being unfaithful to God and how even in the beginning God had been faithful to them. And you know, church, a lot of times we read about Israel and you hear folk in the church talk about, oh, God ought to just wipe them out. Who are you? I remember one time in New York, I was standing with a preacher and he was standing on the street corner crying. He said, if God don't destroy this place, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah, because he realized how bad New York was. And you know, we bad about pointing our finger, talking about everybody else, and you know, everybody needs help. But I got news for you, friend. Some of us need some help too. Amen. I don't know about y'all. I've been working on myself with God for almost 40 years, and there's still some places I'm working on, some rough edges I'm trying to get rid of, and I'm still going to school. And, you know, I remember when I got saved, I'd go to church, and you'd hear them testimonies. I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost on my way to heaven, and I ain't got them desires I used to have. And I'd be over there going, whoa, I can't wait till I get to that class. Lord, I still ain't made it. Come on, don't none of y'all look down your nose at me. Long as you're breathing, there's going to be some desires in your life you're going to have to get a hold of. That's why the Bible said you take captive your imagination through the power and the anointing of the Spirit, because you can't do it on your own. Come on, church, smile at me. Some of y'all like, well, preacher, I don't know. Hey, you ever notice we got folk in the church, I won't tell you who else is messed up, but the Bible said sometimes it's easier to see the hole in somebody else's life than the mote that's in your own eye. And we got too many people that have been running around talking about everybody else being messed up and all the stuff they need, when if we're really honest about ourselves, every one of us needs some things from God. Could you say amen? You say, preacher, where are you going with this? I want to try to bring this down where you get a little something of it. I believe these verses speak to us because some of us have suffered from what Israel suffered from in the beginning. And we apply this to our lives, and it'll help us to become more of what God wants us to be. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Some of us have been in and out with God. Let's face it, church, when I got saved, I didn't live right the first week. I tried. Had one preacher told me, he said, now, preacher, said you got to live for God but a minute. And I kept having trouble with the minutes. And then I finally figured out how to let God help me, and I started making it a little longer in between falls. But even now, every once in a while, I have to look in the mirror and say, Lord, forgive me today of the things I've done wrong on your behalf, trying to do what I can. And thank God it's getting less that I got to get back up. But every once in a while, I have to look myself in the mirror and say, okay, God, I need you to work on me a little bit. Spirit of God, I need you to take more control of my life. Come on, church. Amen. Now, I'm not telling you got to sin every day because I don't think the Bible teaches that. But we're all human. And we all going to have to look at it. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I've not passed every test since I got saved. Maybe you're a straight-A student, but I'm one of them on the backside. Glory. Hello? I used to kid people talking about the four-letter student in school, D-U-M-B. Glory. That's not really true. I was actually an honor student in school. But the truth of the matter was, I was the other way on the other side. I'm the only person I ever know of got voted into the Humane Society, the National Honor Society. I ain't never been in the Humane Society. Amen. PETA don't like me. I thought that was people eating tasty animals. And glory. I got voted in the National Honor Society at 9 o'clock that morning. They had the thing, took me in. By 12 o'clock, I was out. Glory. I don't know if that's a record or not. Glory. But the reality is, I had some problems. Now, notice this. First of all, I believe some of you, you're where you are because you had a rough start. Ezekiel 16:5, none I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee. You have compassion upon thee to put thou was cast out by the open field to the loathing of people in the day that thou wast born. Amen. You know, some of us had a rough start. We didn't all start on top of the mountain. I don't know why, but you know, we got folks that like to testify about how rough they had it. And then I find out where they lived and what they had when they was kids. And I'm like, oh, I'd have died to have been raised the way you were raised. Come on, church. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but I know what it is to be poor. I'm not ashamed of the fact that I came up in a poor family. I mean, you know, I'm not, you don't be ecstatic, but my mom and dad were doing the best they could. I mean, I remember, you know, Christmas trees when popcorn was around the tree because we couldn't afford the lights. If we'd had them, we couldn't turn them on. Oh, come on, church. I remember lighting a fire, and this kid go home with me one night, and he's in there. I said, hey, where's the rate? And I said, what rate? He said, well, the heat comes out. I said, it's all in there in the living room where the fireplace is. He looked over at me and said, I believe the window's up. I feel air coming through the window. I said, dude, shut up and look. You can see down the side of the window. It don't have to be up. Glory. Ah, come on. Y'all act like y'all had to listen. I remember the chickens playing under the house. You can lean over off the bed and see them running under the house, through the floor. That's why I'm very, very cautious about what I have now, because I appreciate it. I know where I came from, and I ain't never going to forget it. That's why I've never forgotten why I got where I am. Come on, church. Amen. But you got some folk running to, I had a rough background. Then I find out their first car was a sports car, a Cadillac, and I'm like, no. I mean, you know, I remember having to go to work early. When I was 12 years old, playing in the field wasn't something you knew did. You went in the field and worked. Hello? I remember telling my daddy one time, I said, I don't want to work today. I want to play. He said, go ahead. I was like, it was that easy? I'm going to go play. I went out and had a big time. He rung the dinner bell. I come home. He said, what are you doing? I said, come to eat dinner. He said, no, you don't work, you don't eat. He made me leave and go play. I went and played with my friend, hoping his mama would call him home. I got back for supper, couldn't eat supper, hadn't worked. Got up next morning, couldn't eat breakfast, hadn't worked. But you better believe he didn't have to beg me about going to work that morning. I was down there ready to go when he got out of the dinner table, the breakfast table. I was out there waiting on him. I was already figuring out stuff I could do. Amen. And at lunch, you better believe, you better not been in my way when that bell rung. Come on, church. Y'all look at me like, preacher, you're crazy. No, I'm not. I remember going to work at 15 years old and the job actually paid money. So I could buy clothes so I could look like everybody else at school instead of wearing somebody else's stuff. Oh, y'all act like you ain't never had that. Man, I got to work in the Gaithers in the shoe department. Next thing you know, I got different colored tennis shoes for every day of the week. Amen. I went wild with it. Lord. Because I thought I was somebody. Come on, church. You say, preacher, what's that got to do with it? I'm talking about having a hard start. Now I value what I have because I got that. But listen, church, you need to understand something. Some of you need to quit living in your past. I mean, I like to think about my past because I love my family and I love the way we came up. I mean, let's face it, we'd kill each other in a fight, but if somebody jumped on somebody else, you had to whoop all eight of us. Lord, hello? Why? Because we might have whooped each other, but you might not touch none of us. It was ugly. Because we were family. And I can remember going home and we had 3 bedrooms in the house. And all my sisters and brother were married time I was 12, yet they came home every weekend. It'd be 20, 30 people sleeping in that house. We'd be on rugs. And I remember we had one of them folding chairs you put outside, you know, the plastic weave through it. That's what I slept on. Ate so many sandwiches, I thought that's all it was, because sandwiches was an easy way to feed all them people. Mom started feeding us sandwiches. Come on, church. Somebody said, preacher, you're crazy. No. You see, church, the thing I got to realize is this. It is not how I started or where I started. It is how I finish up that matters to God. It's not whether or not I was a Christian in my early days. I can't go back and undo what happened to me before I turned 19 years old. But what matters is once I came to know Jesus Christ and I begin to run the race for him, it is important that I understand that I finish. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, know ye not that they which run the race run all, but the one that receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain. I'm not in this race to lose. I don't want to finish second. I want a bronze medal. I want gold, and the only way I'm going to get it is to make sure I finish the race. Could you say amen? Matthew 10:22, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Whew. I've been through a lot of stuff, but you know what I found out from Job? So the Lord blessed the latter of Job even more than his beginning. It doesn't matter how I began. It matters how I finish up. It matters how I do when I go through things. And let's face it, church, some of you have been going through some stuff, but you got to hang on. You got to keep kicking. You got to keep working. And if you do that, sooner or later, God's going to give you victory. Could you say amen? Listen, not only did you have a bad start, notice what this said. You have fatal attachments. Get that from, preacher? Right here in the scripture. 16th chapter, the 4th verse, A part. And for thy nativity or thy birth, the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut. Some translations put it a little closer. Thy cord was not cut. Any of y'all understand when a baby's born, the first thing they do when it's born is they cut the umbilical cord? Because he no longer needs that now. He's in a new world with new things going on. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? The problem with some people in the church have is that you're still attached to things that you need to get rid of. There are people and things in your life that you should have got rid of a long time ago, and you got an umbilical cord tied to them, and you're dependent on them, and you need to let go of them and realize the only thing I need is him. In him I live, in him I move, in him I have my being, and by him I am more than a conqueror. Could you say amen? The umbilical cord that is on your body is responsible for your oxygen, which is life. It's for your blood, which is your strength. It's for your food, which is your nourishment. There are people and things that we need to get out of our life. People are sometimes attached will pull you down so fast you can't ever get up and stay up. There are things in your life that when you get going good, because you never cut the cord, it's pulled you down by the time you thought you got going. Maybe there are people in your life that keep pulling you back when you think you got it made. And sometimes you got to sever those relationships so that you can have a presence of God in See, the devil don't mind you getting started. What he don't want is you making it. Hello? He'll give you just enough rope to think you're doing good, and then he'll find somebody or something to pull you down. Come on, church. Let me stop right here. Let me say this. Maybe I'm looking at this wrong. What if you're the person somebody ought to be getting disconnected from? Oh, I could have stayed all day on the other side, couldn't I? I don't know about y'all, but I remember when I was a teenager, nobody wanted their kids hanging around me. Now that I look back, I understand. My kids had hung around somebody like me, I'd kill them. I mean, folks that even acted anywhere near like I did when I was a teenager, I'd tell Alex right quick, you ain't hanging around them. Glory. I'd send people off. It got knocked on my door one day. He said, at least you're here. I said, not for you. I said, you know that bushy patch out there? Clear it going out of my yard. Don't ever come back. He left. She come through the house with that for me. I said, that ain't nothing like what I want for you. Get on back to your room. Glory. Come on, church. Smile. Hey, you got to mate your kids up. You can't get racehorses out of mules. You got to line them up with somebody. Come on, church. Smile. I ain't lost my sermon. I'm still where I need to be. Hey, man. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? See, we take a lot of stuff in. And sometimes we allow toxic relationships to keep feeding us toxic stuff because we're not willing to cut the cord between us and somebody or something in our life. Come on, church. And because of that, we keep getting toxic because, let's face it, that cord's what feeds you. And sometimes Satan will use people to feed you so much stuff, you can't get the good stuff God's trying to give you without getting sick. You can't hold it. Come on, church. Amen. Any of y'all ever heard of a place called the Fantail? It's all you need. Seafood buffet, pretty good food. I remember making a trip down there one time. It was folk in my church. And, you know, let's face it, every time I went in there, I saw something I wanted. I figured I paid. I might as well get my money's worth. And I don't know if y'all understand this or not, but when I really want to, I can eat. And I ate. I got home at about 2 o'clock in the morning. I un-ate. It didn't have nothing to do with the quality. It was the quantity. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? Some of you can't hold anything God's given you because when you do, it overloads you and you end up regurgitating everything God's trying to give you because you've been eating everything else, been coming through all week from somebody who's not willing to help you. Somebody's, come on, church, that's good preaching. I'm fixing to move on. But you need to understand there is a price that we have to pay. Amen. You can't break these things on your own. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I don't care who you are. You need Christ to get out of addictions. Amen. Addictions are just a connection. It's an umbilical cord that's took control of your life that controls how you live and everything going on in your life. And you don't break it just because you decide you're not going to do it. But I believe when Christ comes into your life, he gives you the ability to cut that cord and be free. And he said, whomsoever the Son of God is made free, he is free indeed. Woo. Not only do you have a bad beginning and your umbilical cord has never been cut, meaning you got fatal attachments, but I believe some today are suffering from multi-layered mess. Listen to the fourth verse. Neither was you washed in water to supple thee. Amen. See, problem is some of you ain't never got all the stuff off of you, head on you in the other world. When a baby comes into this world, the first thing they do to that baby is clean it up because it's ugly. Some of them, they didn't get all the ugly off. Glory. Come on, church. I had the privilege seeing both of my children after they were cleaned up. I wasn't in the room when it happened. I got to see them act, they look better. Amen. But when a baby's born, it's got all that junk on it that's got to be gotten off. And we got folks that got saved, and you ain't never been washed. You've never been cleansed. You never really let God take you into the room and clean you up and get rid of stuff you had on you in the other world, and you're still hauling it around. Come on, church. Many of you never been completely clean. You're still holding on to things that you need to cleanse yourself of. You suffer from what I'll call compound confusion. Hello? You say, what are you talking about? See, I know you were raised in church, but has church ever been raised in you? Huh? I've been living for God 20 years. Great. But has God been living in you for 20 years and growing in you for 20 years? Are you still where you was at when you got right? Because you're not moving forward. See, some of you are fighting battles that's not your making. It's been going on for years in your family. Come on, church. I know what my demons are. I go back and read my history and tell you what my demons are. And I know some of you are going to say, ain't no such thing generational curses. You know, I heard preachers preach that. Not a one of them can prove to me what a generational curse is in my family and why it's there if there ain't none. I don't want to hear no book learning. If it's in my life and it happened in my family, then it got to exist. I go by what's happened, not by what some smart Jew told me he got a hold of. Come on, church. I could read where Abraham lied, Isaac lied, Jacob lied, so until Joseph come along, the whole bunch was liars. Then Joseph decided, I'm going to be somebody different. He got to be honest. Come on, church. What happened? It was passing down from family to family. Whether you call it a generational curse or something, it just moves through the family. You ever notice you always find families are full of drunks, and no matter what generation, they end up being drunks because there's something going on in that family that makes them want to turn to alcohol? You ever notice if grandma got divorced, mama got divorced, now you can't live with nobody because you're used to it. It's because you were brought up that way in your environment. Well, you want to call it a generational curse or what you want to do, it exists. I'm from a long line of preachers. Every one of them quit. Every one of them gave up. And you better believe every day of my life, Satan sends people at me to try to make me give up. And I don't know how many times I've resigned in my mind, but I made up my mind. I'm fighting this fight. I'm overcoming. I'm not giving up. I'm hanging on to God. You'll never be healed until you're willing to admit your foolishness that's in your life. They had to be back at a certain time, folks. It's okay. I seen somebody say, boy, run them off. They told me before church started they had to leave at a certain time because they have to be back at a certain time. I'm just glad they got to come. Hello? Oh. I just thought I'd explain that to you because I've seen a couple of them going, I'm going with them. Glory. Listen, church, sometimes you got to admit you're not smart enough to handle these things. Hello? Yes. Amen. Leads me to my next one. Some of us are suffering from missing mentors. Ezekiel 16:4, see, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee, and thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. When babies were born in ancient days, after they washed them, it was a practice that they would rub them with salt to preserve them, to help them. It wasn't the kind of salt we use. It was called natron, which is a hydrous native sodium carbonate used in ancient times for embalming, for ceramic paste, and for the cleansing of children. Glory. It would help get the rest of that stuff off they didn't get off with water. Hello? It would help cleanse them and purify them, but it would also help protect them from rashes and other disease, skin diseases they could get while they were a young child. And notice what the Bible said. You had nobody that cared enough about you to take care of you when you couldn't take care of yourself. Amen. And church, we got folks in the church. One of the problems you got, you've never had nobody tell you how stupid you are, some of the stuff you're doing. Glory. Oh, come on. I could have got a better word, but that one just come out. Glory. Amen. I mean, really and truly, we got people in church don't read the Bible because nobody told them how important it was for them to read the Bible, and they never established a habit, so they never read the Word, and they don't understand. They're their own enemy. Mm. Some of you today stay broke, busted, and disgusted because nobody's ever told you if you'll work a little bit, you can have something. Hello? Somebody said, preacher, you're crazy. We've got to be mature enough to say, I'm ignorant in this particular field. Hello? Let me tell you something, church. The problem most of us have, and I want you to get this, offended people consult offended people. People who really don't want change will seek people to help them stay right where they are. Pop up on the stage when I got it. You want people that can feel you rather than someone that can heal you. Huh? Oh, I feel you, brother. I don't know what to say. Then why in the world am I wasting my time with somebody that can feel me and ain't got no idea how to get out of it? Come on, church. Oh, I feel you. Your husband is a sorry man. You ought to leave him. Why? Just because your friend told you to? The Bible said you're supposed to work it out. I know I could have left that out, but some of y'all need to hear that. You say, what are you talking about? You so busy trying to get felt, you ain't worried about getting healed. Oh, I feel you. I feel your pain. No, sometimes you need to grow up, move on past the pain, and find out how to get somewhere where you can do something different. Amen. Well, I'm broke all the time. Could it be you ain't never learned to quit spending tomorrow's money today? Glory. Come on, church. It's good preaching. I thank God that I had an older man look at me one day and say, boy, if you keep spending your money you ain't got, you ain't never going to have nothing. Do you know what the number one deterrent to acquiring possession and prosperity in this world is? Debt. And do you know what most people in the church has got? Debt. You know why? Because they don't know how to cut up credit cards and say, I don't have the money, I can't do it today. You meddling, preacher. No. If everybody was prosperous, they'd pay their tithes accordingly, and the church would be blessed. But if all the time I'm looking up, you in debtor's court or running from somebody that's got to find you, you don't ever have the ability to pay your tithes like you spoke. Oh, come on, church. This is good stuff. And you're in a constant cycle that keeps you from where God wants you to be, and that's because you've never had anybody tell you the truth. And then when I do it, you want to get mad. The truth of the matter is, if you'll learn how to live off what you got, you'll always have something God will bless you. I'm moving on. I got 5 minutes. 4 points. You never rub with salt. Mark 9:50. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its saltness, wherewith you season it? Have salt in yourselves and your peace one with another. Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Glory. Now, if you read this, it said all that went on, and then something important is said. But. Anybody know what but is? It's disconjunctive conjunction. I learned that in the book. Smile. What does that mean? When that word ends up in a sentence, you know what it says? Forget everything else you just heard. Because it really don't matter anymore. Because the cause is fixing to be given a cure. Amen. It said, but I came by. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, church. Some of y'all missed the opportunity to lose it. So what are you talking about? Doesn't matter where you started. Doesn't matter about all the things you missed out in this world. Doesn't matter what's wrong in your life. If God comes by, God starts to work on fixing the things inside of you. Read your Bible. Jesus passed by and the blind started seeing. Jesus passed by and the deaf went to speak, and Jesus passed by and the lame got to walking. What are you talking about? When Jesus comes by your house, everything in your life is going to change to where God wants you. I was an alcoholic till Jesus came by. I was a drug addict till Jesus came by. I was hung on cigarettes, but Jesus came by. Ah, come on, church. Some of y'all missing this. Any of y'all ever been at your house with a bunch of your friends and your mom and dad come home when they ain't supposed to? You ever notice when your daddy came in the house, everybody wasn't supposed to be there, left real quick? Glory. Some of y'all act like that didn't happen at your house. Man, my daddy'd come in and I'd be sitting there and dad said, what was going on? And there wasn't none of them sitting there to help me tell him what was going on. You know, I realized real quick that when dad got home, everything that was supposed to be there got out. Oh, some of y'all missing this. What are you talking about when your dad comes home? When Jesus shows up in your life, he'll help you get those things that aren't supposed to be there out so that you can walk in his presence and walk in his power. Oh, preacher, you don't understand. No, walk in the spirit. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When I sell out to God and God gets where he's supposed to be in my life, then things are going, oh, come on, church. God's going to change. Listen, the last point, I think. You're a wounded, weak warrior. Notice what he said. You're polluted in thine own blood. I said to thee, thou wast in thy blood. Any of you know what happens when you lose blood? You ever gave blood? You give blood, and for the first few minutes after that, no matter how much you try, you're weak. You get a little used to it after a while. I used to give blood to the Red Cross regularly, and so I was kind of used to it. I'll never forget, we were in Mississippi. My dad was having open-heart surgery, and there was a gentleman there that needed blood because his insurance wouldn't pay for it, and they told the wife, you either got to give us like $2,000 or furnish us 7 pints of blood, or we won't operate on your husband. They had him on life support. Without the surgery, he's not going to live. So me and my brothers go downstairs, and two brother-in-laws, we go down there going to give blood. We're going to replace that blood they got to have so that this person could get the surgery. And y'all know my big brother-in-law that comes here, big, robust dude. I didn't realize he had never gave blood. What I did was pretty sorry anyway, but I didn't know he had never gave blood. And he was laying there and they're pumping that blood out of him. And I gave my pint and slid up on the end of the table. And that lady come by and said, what do you want? I said, give me some tomato juice. I'm in that clear cup with tomato juice in it. I went, hey, Junior, that's pretty good stuff. He was weak, set up, his head started spinning. When he saw the tomato juice, it just was all he could handle. And he left this world. See, the problem some of you have, you've been wounded by something. You're down and out. And you're laying in your own blood. And you're trying to figure out, how am I going to make it? Don't you notice something? Jesus gives an answer. You don't need to keep waiting on somebody else to help you. Sometimes you need to help yourself. Come on, church. Young man came to me one night. He said, Brother Ken, how'd I get a better study life? I said, start studying more. That's real spiritual, ain't it? But it's the truth. How do you get a better prayer life? Start praying more. Quit waiting on somebody to slap you upside the head and give you a spirit of prayer. Just get on your knees and fight through it and pray. Glory. Jesus, the Bible said, God said when he came by, he said, live. You know what it really says? Just keep doing what you're doing. Don't give up. Don't let go. Don't just let it happen. Do something. Now, I can tell some of y'all what roaches are. And y'all have roaches in your house when you was a kid. You ever seen them big old pine roaches they used to get in our house? Man, them things looked like they were moving in to take over. Yeah. They come running across the road, and you'd watch them come out behind the corner for a little while. And then your daddy, your mama would holler, kill that thing! And you'd have to grab a flip-flop or fly flap or something, try to hit it, and it'd get up on the wall, and you knock it on the ground. And have y'all ever seen a roach on its back? That's what you ought to be doing. Because you run up on that roach, he's laying on his back, and he knows he's dead, but he's kicking. He's got every leg going. He's doing everything he can to get over. And I don't know about y'all, but when I was little, I was scared of roaches. I ain't real happy with them now, but I was scared of them back then. And I'd go over there and start to hit him, and he'd flip his foot and catch his back, spin away, and I'd back up. Because turns out I was more scared of him than he was me. But the point was, he didn't give up. He kept kicking. And every once in a while, if he'd catch me not up there just right, scare me a little bit, and I'd jump back, he'd get over on his feet. I'd be behind something, and then I'd have to start trying to move stuff to find him. Because I had to come back with that roach. Come on, church. Preach, what are you talking about? God said, I saw you in your corruption. I saw you in your blood. I saw you in the state of dying. And I say to you, live. And I will bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of you have been fighting things for years, and you might give up. You're thinking, I can't handle it anymore, and I can't make it. But I'm telling you, today is the day you need to walk to this altar, put your hands in there, and say, hey, I'm going to live. I'm not giving up anymore. I'm not backing down anymore. I'm not staying under this anymore. I'm coming out in the power, the grace, and the glory. Oh. Stand with me all over the house.